Hello, friends, and welcome once again to another edition of the Answer the Call broadcast. Thank you so much for inviting us into your home this evening. Now, if you have your Bible handy, tonight we're going to take our Bible and turn to Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter number 2. And if you're like I am so excited about this time of the year. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. Here in Luke chapter 2, I want you to note with me, starting with verse number 8, and we're going to read through verse number 16. Verse number 8, the Bible says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." In verse 15 and 16, the Bible says, "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger." In 1940, at the House of Commons in the United Kingdom, on June the 18th, Winston Churchill, just 1 month after he took over as Prime Minister, gave three profound speeches. Of the three speeches, one was called, "We Shall Fight on the Beaches." I believe it was in that particular speech that Winston Churchill made this statement. Here it is. He said, "Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duties and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its Commonwealth last for 1,000 years, men will still say this was their finest hour." Well, tonight I want to talk to you concerning Bethlehem's finest hour. And it's interesting because when we think about Bethlehem as this particular time of the year, I am told that 250,000 people visit Bethlehem each year. And it's not because of its landscape, it's not because of its location, and it's not because of its leadership in agricultural development. Absolutely not. The reason why people visit this history-making place is because it is where the Savior of mankind was born. In Micah chapter 5, verse number 2, the Bible reminds us of this, "But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forths have been from of old, from everlasting." In our text this evening, I want you to key in with me on verse number 11. And there the Bible says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." These words would put Bethlehem on the map. Outside of being the hometown of Israel's greatest king, David, Bethlehem was not known for much. It was not known for its metropolitan city like unto a New York. It was not known as an industrial hub, for example, like unto Houston, Texas. And it surely was not known as an entertainment city like unto a Las Vegas, Nevada. No, my friend, when we think of Bethlehem, we think of one thing, and that is this. Bethlehem is the place where the Lord Jesus Christ was born. You see, my friend, the birth of the Savior of the world was Bethlehem's finest hour. It was a tremendous event. It was an event of all events. It was the event that put little Bethlehem on the world's stage. We sing the song, O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in the dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hope and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. The arrival of the baby Jesus for Bethlehem was its finest hour. But wait a minute, neighbor, there's more. What else contributed to Bethlehem's finest hour? Well, as a result of that tremendous night, we are introduced to the first Christmas cantata that was performed. In our text, in verse 13, we read, And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God, saying, Oh, listen, friend, I enjoy hearing a good choir sing. I enjoy hearing the tenors, the bass, the altos, as well as the sopranos. But as great as those voices might be, I am sure they are nothing compared to hearing angels sing the Hallelujah chorus. How many have joined in on that special night in which our Savior was born? How many angels appeared? The Bible doesn't tell us. But in Revelation chapter 5, verse number 11, the Bible gives us a description of the amount of angels. Note the text with me. Revelation chapter 5, verse 11 says, And behold, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousand of thousands. Now, whether that many showed up on that grand and glorious night of the birth of our Savior, I am not sure. But I know one thing. It was a tremendous night. In fact, the Bible tells us what the song consisted of. In verse number 14 of our text there in Luke chapter 2, the Bible said, They sung glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men. All neighbor, Bethlehem introduces us to the first Christmas cantata that was performed. And then secondly, we also understand that there was the first Christmas guest who were present on that glorious night besides the angels. The Bible says in verse number 15 of Luke chapter 2, And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away into the heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. The Bible says that the angels went back into heaven, and the shepherds turned one to another and said, Let us go see. Oh, friend, they did just that. Hey, neighbor, when the Lord reveals something to you, we need to say, I'll do it. We need to say, whatever he asks, I'll do. Wherever he leads, I'll follow. And in verse number 16, the first part of that passage, the Bible says, And they came with haste. Perhaps you're listening to this program and you're wondering, what should I do with Jesus? Let me just say this to you. I believe, like the shepherds, you need to make haste. You need to run to the Savior without delay. What a wonderful night that must have been. But it was the night that put Bethlehem on the map. Bethlehem experienced its finest hour. Again, why is this so? It was because they had the first Christmas cantata that was performed. It was because they had the first Christmas guests that were present. But then lastly, it was because they had the first Christmas gift that was provided. In verse number 16 of our text, once again, the Bible says, And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Who was that babe? That babe was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Who was that babe? That babe was the Savior of all mankind. Who was that babe? That babe was he who left his throne in glory and came here on this side of eternity, surrendering all his rights, his responsibility, and his privileges to be born in the body of a human being. Oh, friend, what tremendous love God shown in that he would allow his son to put on human flesh to come and dwell among men. Listen, my friend, if our greatest need had been education, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. And friend, if our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent you and I an entertainer. But God realized in eternity past that our greatest need would be forgiveness. Therefore, he sent to you and I a Savior, the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ, the Savior of mankind. Let me ask you, my friend, do you know him? Do you know the Savior of the world? I'm not referring to just a baby. I'm talking about the one who came, died on an old rugged cross so that you and I might experience eternal life. If you don't know him, why not? I encourage you at this special Christmas season to call out to him by faith, to receive him as your very own, and to experience in your own personal life your finest hour. You see, just as Bethlehem experienced its finest hour, just as this old preacher that you're listening to experienced his finest hour, you too, my friend, can experience your finest hour. Will you call out to the Savior? Will you trust him as your Lord? Would you be willing at this Christmas season to surrender all to him? Will you, my friend, be willing to answer the call?